Do you want to launch a profitable podcast? Before we get into this episode, I wanted to let you know about my free virtual event called the Profitable Podcasting Summit. It currently has over 20 speakers and we continuously add to the summit experience. So you may see 30, 40, 50, even more speakers when you go over there. You'll learn exactly how you can launch, grow, and monetize your very own podcast at this summit. And you can get your free ticket to this virtual event over at profitablepodcastingsummit.com. Which will be in the show notes. Anyways, let's get right into the episode. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Birdie, author of YouTube Dakota here, helping people grow their YouTube channels and achieve success in business. And if you couldn't tell already, I love podcasting. I mean, we're 400 episodes into this. I have another podcast. I always think about like third idea, fourth idea, fifth idea, just start so many different podcasts. So I love podcasting. Our guest is going to join us today. He's going to really talk about the power of podcasting, how you can use it to really fuel your business. So we're talking to a guy who is a keynote and TEDx speaker, business consultant, and surprisingly, a podcaster. He is the number one podcast for consultants, the Practice of the Practice podcast. And he's had big hitters like Pat Flynn, John Lee Dumas, Lewis Howes, all these different people on his shows. He is a rising star in the speaking world. Our guest also writes for Psych Central. He's been featured at places like Huffington Post, Forbes, Good Magazine, Reader's Digest, Entrepreneur on Fire, Yahoo News. And he's the author of 5 books and has been named the Therapist Resource Top Podcast Consultant and Blogger. So our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success, Joe Sanok. Joe, welcome to the show.
What's up, Mark?
Joe, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. A little context here. We met at New Media Summit. I was also on Joe's show. We did back-to-back recordings. So there's going to be me on Joe's show, and we're doing this episode here on Breakthrough Success as well. But podcasting is certainly a very great resource. And I think we should kick this off for, I mean, Joe, like, you know, podcasting is great. When did you really figure out this could be your business?
Yeah. You know, I was working at a community college and I had a side counseling business. So typical mental health business where in evenings or lunch hours, I would go do a couple counseling sessions. And I started reading all these business books about just how to be a better business person. I hadn't learned that in grad school. When I asked other counselors, they said, oh, you can't make money in private practice. You just can't do it. It's not going to be lucrative. And I didn't believe that. I started reading about how people were making money, started listening to podcasts, and I thought it'd be interesting to just be a co-learner and say, hey, I just read this book and this is how I'm applying it to my private practice. And I thought maybe at some point this could be something that might bring in a little bit of income to pay off student loan debt. But what happened is I started this podcast in 2013. I really looked for that blue ocean of where nobody was, and there was nobody podcasting about the topic. So from day one, I was number one, and every podcast that came out after that, I was one of their first guests on that podcast. And so it really positioned me in a way that I really didn't expect.
Yeah, and that's definitely involved with Joe. He does have some done-for-you services around podcasting. He has a podcast launch e-course coming out in January and a free podcasting resource, which will be in the show notes. So he's certainly evolved in that area. And I'm wondering for people who they feel like they're podcasting, they're doing episodes, but nothing's really changing for them except the episode number. So like maybe instead of like 50 episodes, you're at 100 episodes, but nothing else has really changed, like income, like impact, stuff like that. So how do you think we really hit on that evolution?
Yeah, you know, my first year was exactly what you just described. I love that you said that the only thing that changes is the number of episodes. That was totally me that first year. You know, I was really struggling to break through 200 downloads per episode. And it's like, I'm working so hard. I'm not making hardly any money off of this. Like, what do I do? So I changed a couple things. For one, I had a professional make my logo instead of the one that I had put together. And that was super helpful just to look more professional. Also, I set an exact time that things were going to go live every single week. And so I looked at my analytics and saw that Wednesday was the day on my website that the most people were there. So I thought, well, what if I got people there a day early? So I started launching every Tuesday morning, non-negotiable, 5 a.m. Eastern, it was going to go live. So the morning commute people would have it just sitting there every Tuesday morning to really make it a habit for people. And as soon as I did that, it was like a right turn to the north. Would it be a left turn to the north? Either way, it went up. So I also think that what people can do is they can start doing some series. So I did this thing where I called it Blog Sprint. And instead of just doing a weekly episode, every couple months, I did a 5-part series. The first one I did was called Blog Sprint, where I dug in deep on blogging, SEO, linking things together, just those things that my audience were asking me for. And we did this 5-part series that then led into a in-person kind of over Zoom type of meeting that we did as a launch to bring in some money to help pay for that. So really doubling down on it, getting to know your audience, and then making sure you're doing it regularly to me are the keys when you're wanting to grow those numbers.
Yeah, and being consistent with the episodes is really important. 5 a.m. Eastern is a smart time for, you know, the commute. I do 9 a.m. Eastern for my shows on Monday, Wednesday, and I just like the time 9 a.m. Eastern. It helps a lot of West Coast people as well for their commute. But was it really just being consistent with episodes, or did you have like a more strategic approach for getting downloads and promoting episodes that led to an even bigger push?
Yeah. So I think just committing to it and saying, I'm going to give this, you know, a period of time where I'm going to really work hard at it. Cause most people, I think when they start a podcast, kind of limp along and say, well, let's just see if it takes off. Then I kind of, the next level we took it to was to really do some strategic promotion around it. So asking our guests to help promote it and get it out to their lists. And then doing some Facebook lives that we repurposed. So doing lives, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, you know, however you're doing lives, I then would download that, upload it to Dropbox. And at that point, my assistant would take it over. So she would then put that on YouTube, repurpose it, make it look pretty. Then she'd have it transcribed and put it into a blog post and embed that YouTube video. Then she would add that to the email list as well. And then she would make an infographic that we put on Pinterest, but also had as an opt-in. So then by doing all these different things, it was allowing our listeners to engage in a much deeper way. So instead of just passively listening to a 45-minute episode, now they had a download and they had an extra resource and they were getting outcomes where they said, holy cow, this is actually helping my bottom line with my business. This once a week podcast is genuinely changing things for me. And then it started to really get sent out to more strategic partners like graduate schools and other folks that are saying, okay, as part of our curriculum, now you have to listen to this podcast.
Mm. And with those graduate schools, like did you reach out to any of those people, or did you just like see an email that said, oh, we're putting your podcast in our curriculum now?
Yeah. Usually what would happen is there'd be a grad student at a grad school that reached out and just sent me an email and would say, hey, Joe, I love your podcast. I wish we had these kind of courses in grad school. And I said, for totally free, I would love to speak to your grad school class, you know, via Skype or Zoom. Would you mind introducing me to your professor so that I can talk with them about some outcomes of private practice? So then, you know, there was one class that actually made my ebook required reading for the class. And then after they had all read it, then I Skyped in to talk to the class. And you would have thought I was some like rock star to these kids. They all had like read the book and were like, this is so amazing. You're changing how we're thinking. So usually I would say most strategic partnerships start with someone reaching out to me and saying, you know, this has really impacted me. And then me saying, well, how can we work together more to help more people in your community?
Yeah, that's a really amazing point, like, because people who say like, I love your content, those are going to be the people who will promote you the most. And if you ask them to, you know, like, can like more grad students like curious, for instance, like the college model is really great for businesses. I feel like, I mean, you've got recurring customers, you've got recurring listeners. So I mean, I know people have thought of it with books. I certainly have thought about doing it with mine. But the podcast, I mean, that's something that's a game changer. Like, you don't really think about that kind of option for a podcast. So I think that's a really powerful method.
Yeah. And when I would get one of these speaking gigs, you know, it's a half an hour presentation, to then ahead of time speak with the professor and ask about where they're struggling, where they feel like they aren't sure how to teach around private practice. Cause a lot of them don't have business school training. And so I can then help them become better professors, and then suggest to them, my suggestion is that you have all the students either download the book or listen to a podcast. And then they're the ones that are saying, okay, required homework. You all have to listen to one of his podcasts.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those, like, podcasting has so many opportunities to it, especially if you have a very creative mind. And I love, again, that example of Joe being able to get into those grad schools with his podcast. Have you ever, like, had any other, like, really creative opportunity that's come up because of podcasting and the way you created that opportunity for yourself?
Yeah, I think podcasting in general just it's helped me talk to people I kind of have no business talking to. You know, I mean, I now have a platform where I can say, can I interview you for half an hour, an hour? Recently, I interviewed Daniel Pink, who's been one of my business, like, I've looked up to him for years, and I have no business talking to him. But he came here to Traverse City to do a talk, and you know, hundreds of people were there to listen to him speak. And then the next day, my wife saw him at a coffee shop, and she said, you know, my husband has a podcast. Would you want to be on it? And my wife is typically not the kind of person that will put herself out there like that, but she did. And my podcast helped her be bold and kind of do something that's out of her comfort zone. But then, you know, he gave his personal email to my wife and said, yeah, here, have your husband just email me. We did the interview about a month ago. And so I think that one of the big things is that when you start interviewing people that are farther ahead in a certain area, you're just getting kind of free consulting, but you also then are aligning yourself with those people. And you're also learning those skills that maybe you wouldn't have learned. So it's sort of like a masterclass where you can hack the system and get the best information, the best kind of takeaways from a book in a 45-minute interview.
Yeah, there's just so many creative ways to make it happen. I mean, I was doing grocery shopping. I honestly don't do it too much, but I happen to be in this scenario because we were in a different state at the time. So one of the employees there is asking me about my podcast because I had my cap on, which I don't have on for this video interview, but I did have my cap on in that interview. Then we got into a conversation about my podcast. So there's just so many different ways. And one thing I will say is, like, I recently got a TEDx. The actual thing is on January 11th. So actually when this episode publishes, it'll be like very soon. I'm talking about like breaking the age barrier in business because of my whole background. Like, I've done a lot of things, like 20 books, more training courses, all the students. Joe and I talk more about that on his episode where I'm on there, but they were the most interested in the fact that I had a podcast and the fact that I interviewed all these awesome people. So even though I had all the books and like all these really awesome things, it was the podcast that proved critical for me being able to get that talk. So I mean, I feel like when like books, like people know how important it is to have a book already, but a podcast is one of those like emerging things. It's been emerging for 5 years, and like 5 years from now, it'll still probably be emerging because like audio is just like so like booming right now, and podcasting is such this big opportunity, but at the same time, you've barely tapped into it. So
it really is. And I think that's the thing that people that are in the world of podcasting, listening to podcasts, feel like, well, everyone has a podcast. So who am I to jump in? And I've been digging into these stats for a while, and the stats I was digging into, they also presented at New Media Summit. But for me, stats make most sense when we can give an actual kind of image to them. And so if we said, how many blogs are there, you know, worldwide, 660 million blogs. So if that was a 6 foot tall person, and we compared that to how many YouTube channels there are, you know, 25 million or so. So that's the equivalent of King Kong, who is 104 feet tall. So big jump. But then if we look at just how many podcasts there are, if you look at just podcasts that even haven't posted recently, that's the statistical equivalent of 7 Titanics stacked on top of each other. But if we look at podcasts that actually have a recent episode in the last 90 days, that's the equivalent of Mount Everest, 30,000 feet tall. So it's, if you're going to spend an hour of your time creating content, are you going to spend an hour on just a blog post where you're 6 feet tall? Or are you going to spend an hour of your time doing a podcast where you're 30,000 feet tall? And so to me, the statistical difference is so pronounced where people just aren't, you know, continuing with podcasts, even if they launch them. And so if you get to even 30 or 40 episodes, you are so far ahead of the competition, and you're connecting with your ideal client in a way that's deeply intimate.
Yeah, and especially when we think about topics for our shows, because like there's a lot less podcasts than blogs and YouTube channels, but podcasting is also a harder format because you have to find someone to interview each week. It's easier for Joe and I now because we go to a New Media Summit, a bunch of people reach out to us, but in the beginning you had to find people, so it's a harder format. So you've got a ton of podcasts that aren't active. And even for the ones that are active, like some of them are in business, some of them are in comedy, some of them tackle specific areas of business. So it's easier to really stand out in podcasting where there just are not as many of us. And I mean, it's just such a great opportunity. As Joe's and sharing with us.
Well, and I think that, you know, really understanding how are you going to make money off of your podcast? Yeah, and big. So a lot of people will say, I want to do it off of sponsorships and affiliate links. And I would say initially, those are the two hardest. If you don't already have an established audience where you can go to a sponsor and say, you know, realistically, I think we're going to get 1,000 downloads per episode. You know, if you have an email list of 20 or 30,000, yeah, that's very likely. But if you're just starting out, that's probably not going to be where you make money. But where you will make money is through your own mastermind groups, your own membership community, your own individual consulting. You only need a few hundred listens per episode to get some higher end consulting. And so my recommendation for people starting a podcast is that they start with 5 to 7 solo shows where they really establish who they are and what is their approach to whatever their business is that they're trying to kind of sell people on eventually. And you want it to always be good content. You don't want it to just be a sales pitch. Then the next 7 shows or so, you want it to be people that you're interviewing that are experts in specific areas that support the industry that you're supporting. So you're then aligning yourself with all of these experts. And then the next 7 shows or so, you want to have the interviews with your ideal client. And so those are people that are likely to work with you, but you're kind of doing live coaching with them, helping them brainstorm through certain things. The other thing that I think is really important for podcasters when they first start out is to determine what the bottom line way is that they're going to make money. So say you own a landscaping business in the Chicagoland area, and you're like, I should start a podcast. You may go into turf management and things like that, but you know, if the bottom line is that you want people to work with you in Chicago, you probably want to have a podcast that's based on Chicago topics. Yeah. So you might look at architecture in Chicago, great, you know, techniques in Chicago. Maybe you have a YouTube channel that goes with it that looks through kind of Chicago weather patterns and how it impacts landscaping. Whereas if you, you know, sell a certain turf seed and you want to get out to the world, yeah, maybe you want to have a worldwide podcast. And so really deciding, do you make money off of people locally? Is it mostly kind of localized, like individual therapists? So I work with individual therapists. They want to get more people into their office. They probably shouldn't start a podcast that's just about trauma. They should start one that's more localized.
Yeah, and Joe brings up a lot of great points. Being able to do solo episodes where you stand out as an expert, I feel like a lot of people forget to do that. I usually do not do that on Breakthrough Success just because I do 2 episodes a week, but it is something that a lot of podcasters should be doing. Another thing is, like, we get the whole idea of interviewing people for authority, like how I just read in Joe's bio when we started, like Pat Flynn, John Lee Dumas, Lewis Howes, like those are some really awesome people that Joe has interviewed. But I don't want this to get lost in translation, but Joe's also brought on some guests who, like, some of them have become clients. Some of them has bought his, like, maybe his books, maybe his services, things like that. So there's just so many different ways to make money on podcasting. I feel like so many people just think about the listeners, and the listeners, you know, they engage in our episodes, they can become clients and buy our books themselves, but don't underestimate your ability to get clients who are ideal prospects, get guests who are ideal prospects and turn them into clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, if you're building out a team of virtual assistants that are supporting your work, there's probably other people that would want that. And that's what we ended up doing, was just talking to our highest end clients and saying, you know, what is it that would make launching your big ideas easier? And over, they said they wanted to launch a podcast, but they felt like finding someone to do show notes, someone to do the editing, someone to then repurpose their Facebook Live. Someone would do that. And then I said, okay, well, we do all of those things. Let's put together a done-for-you package, and then they can just show up and do the interview and do what they're good at.
Yeah, that's really awesome, being able to have assistants and people to help you out with stuff. I think it's definitely an investment you need to make if you feel like you don't have enough time for anything and you're doing so much administrative stuff. So I would say go out there, get an assistant. I know for me, I like to use Fiverr, Breakthrough Success, the logo, almost all my book logos except for YouTube Decoded. Pretty much all of them, Fiverr.com is where I've went. But for the advanced stuff, I mean, you can find people on Fiverr, but it'd be like for like podcasts who are just so many different things, especially all the different things Joe said, where he is touching on all these different things that is done for you, it may be something to consider. For people who want to learn more about that done for you and just continue following your work, where are some good places we can go?
Yeah. So if they want to apply to do the done for you, they can go to practiceofthepractice.com/apply. So that webpage has an application for individual consulting, mastermind groups, the done for you services. I want to jump on a phone call with anyone that's considering it. So I don't have a payment page or a landing page. I want to just talk through to make sure that they're actually going to get a solid ROI. We get enough people applying for our services that it's really important that I can stand behind it and say, I think you're going to get well more than your money back. Of course, my attorney says I can't guarantee it, but you know, I want to be able to go into it. And this is a really good investment for you. And so anyone that wants to listen to the podcast, it's the Practice of the Practice podcast. And we're Practice the Practice on every social media platform.
Well, Joe, all those links will be in the show notes. Once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Joe, once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. And thank you for listening to this episode. Coming up for our next episode, we're going to talk about how you can live a life of no regrets, really tap into your feeling of self-worth, and establishing the core beliefs that are going to lead to personal and professional success. So we definitely have a really great episode coming for you next week. So I definitely hope you guys stay tuned for that. And until then, one of the things I greatly appreciate, if you could leave a quick review for the show, they really do add up. Anyway, what I want you guys to do is to dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.